Hi everyone, it's so good to see all of you guys online today. My name is Natasha and I'm one of the district leaders in Ablaze. So I recently went through a relatively big transition in my life because for the past 11 years, I was a part of the East District in Ablaze, and that was where I came to know God. It's where I began serving. It's where I even led the district for the past 3 years. So shout out to all East people and ex-ECs. Hello, you guys are awesome. So I say it's a transition for me because as of last Saturday, I'm officially no longer the East District leader, and I'm in fact going over to lead the JC District. So if you're from JC or if you're coming to JC, hello and thank you for very warmly welcoming me into your district. So last Saturday was a very special day for me because it was the first time in a long time that I got together in person with East, with social distancing in place for my birthday celebration and my farewell. And it was very special because they gave me a very special farewell as well as a very special birthday cake. So today I'm going to show you guys a picture that is possibly going to make me very vulnerable, but in the spirit of opening hearts, I'm just going to do it, okay? So this is a picture of me on a birthday cake, and this picture is probably somewhere in the Polar Puffs and Cakes database in Singapore. And the reason why my face looks like that, right, is because this was me post-wisdom tooth surgery about 4 years ago. I had a really, really bad reaction to the surgery and my face was super swollen for like more than a week, I think. And the worst thing, right, was that I did this surgery 1 week before my uni finals exams. So I remember in my whole study week, right, I barely got any studying done because I was in pain, my cheek was swollen, I was wondering to myself, like, am I supposed to go to school like that with a lopsided face to take my papers? So in that 1 week, I barely got anything done. So I know that some of you guys, right, are in the midst of your exams, your midterms, your submissions. And I just wanted to say, if you're in the midst of all of this, right, don't go and extract your wisdom tooth. But also, I want to say thank you for being here. I'm so proud of you guys for taking the time out to be in God's presence to receive from His Word. So help me to encourage one another by typing in the chat box right now, 加油, press on, don't go and extract your wisdom tooth, and keep going. For our poly friends and our NS friends, I hope you're enjoying the fact that you don't have to study right now. But I also believe that today's sermon will definitely be relevant for you when school reopens or for when you're in a season of stress. So, today, we're coming together to talk about stress. Stress is something that we all experience in one form or another. And in this season of exams and submissions, as our to-do lists pile up, as time runs out on us, stress begins to build. Especially in a year like this, when much of it was spent doing home-based learning, I actually know of some people who have really been feeling the crunch. You know, perhaps you feel like you just can't catch up to what is required of you. You don't understand what's happening in school. When you see the super enthu class part people on Zoom sending in all their smart comments when you're struggling to even understand the readings. Over the next 2 weeks, we want to delve a little bit deeper into the topic of stress. And you know, stress comes in many different forms from many different things. And it could be your studies for now, but it also could be other areas of concern in our lives. Why do we get stressed? And how can we better manage our stress? I believe that this is going to be such a timely word for some of us here. And I pray that as you listen to this sermon, you would just open your hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to begin to reveal to you things about yourself, but also speak to you and encourage you with God's truth. Okay, so if you're ready, without further delay, let's jump into the message today. The title of today's sermon, Why So Stressed? So why do we get stressed? Generally, we stress about things that matter to us, right? And so for some of us in this season, it might take the form of exams, it might take the form of submissions. But for those of us who are not weighed down by stress from school, there are other areas in our lives that could similarly bring about stress. So because we stress about things that matter to us, stress could come from worrying about things like our finances, like our family situation, like the relationships in our life, our health, our future. And because they matter to us, we get stressed and we worry. And the Bible is not silent on stress and worry. Today, let's take a look at what the Bible says. We're going to be learning from Matthew 6. And before we begin, I just want to give you some context so that we can better appreciate what's happening in this passage. Okay, so the book of Matthew records Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, in which he introduces the kingdom of heaven to his disciples. He talks about what the kingdom will be like for his followers, and he gives practical instruction for how they should go about living their lives so that they can experience the fullness of the kingdom. So Matthew 6 happens within this Sermon on the Mount, and here we have Jesus giving instructions to his disciples on how to approach the topic of worry in their lives. So for all of us here today, this is what the Bible has to say about worry. If you're looking at the screen, if you're looking at the Bible, wherever you are, you can join me to read along as I read for you Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And the first point I have for you guys today is know where our stress comes from. Know where our stress comes from. In verse 25, the Bible says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? So I want to help you guys understand the context behind why Jesus said this. Okay, for most of us who grew up in an urban city like Singapore, when we say things like, oh, what will I eat? What will I drink? What will I wear? It has quite a different meaning to when Jesus' audience said it. Okay, I don't know about you, but I am a crazy foodie. I love food and I plan my day around what kind of food I want to eat. Okay, so I wake up thinking about what I can eat in the day and then I go to sleep thinking about what I can eat the next day. So I recently saw this thing on Instagram and it spoke to me on such a deep level. This is the story of my life. Okay, so that's me and food, and I love nice clothes. I enjoy planning my outfits. I enjoy planning what to wear. And I'm sometimes slightly embarrassed because I feel like it's a little bit frivolous. Like, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's not very significant. It's not very life-changing. But I just enjoy paying attention to it. But when Jesus was asking if life was more than food and the body more than clothes, he was not talking to people like me who have frivolous concerns, who are thinking about whether to drink Koi or Chi Cha, eat Jollibee or KFC, or just simply choosing their outfit of the day. To us, food, drink and clothes are a matter of options. But to them, to the crowds that Jesus was speaking to, food, drink and clothes were about survival. To them, food, drink and clothes were basic necessities that did not always come by easily. And so for people in such a situation, the words of Jesus would hit quite differently. It was not just about Koi, about KFC, about your OOTD, but it was about whether you could even afford to put your next meal on the table. And so Jesus was speaking to people who were familiar with the daily struggles. A large part of their day-to-day living was about trying to get enough supplies for survival, both for themselves as well as in terms of providing for their families. These were real concerns, and so you can begin to imagine the stress and worry that they were going through. And it was to these very real concerns that Jesus said, "Do not worry." The root word for worry is the Greek word merim now. And when Jesus uses this word merim now, he was referring to these intense feelings of anxiety about the issues of life. This kind of anxiety leads to worry, and many times it often indicated a lack of trust in God. What does our stress say about us today? Where does our stress come from? And does our stress reflect a lack of trust in God? You know, today we may not be scrambling to secure for ourselves food, drink and clothes, but in many other ways, perhaps we are still scrambling to secure other things we see as necessary for our survival. Perhaps we are scrambling to get good enough grades, we're scrambling to build up our resumes through internships and competitions so we can secure a certain kind of future for ourselves. Maybe we're scrambling to fit in so that we can be accepted by the people around us. Or maybe for some of us, we're scrambling to simply keep up just so that we can advance to the next level and not get retained and left behind. And in our scrambling, we begin to be so fixated on pursuing and securing these things for ourselves that when we're unable to keep up and when we fear that we are lagging behind, we get stressed. For those of you taking your national exams this year, your N, your O, your A levels, perhaps you've been studying really, really hard and scrambling because there's this particular school or course that you really want to get into. And if you don't make it, you feel like your life and your future ends. For those of you in uni, in this midterm season, in the midst of your many submissions, perhaps you've been scrambling to stay on top of the many things that you have to do. You feel like you cannot afford to have your GPA or your CAP fall because that affects your opportunities, that affects your employability. And while Jesus' crowd found their security in food, drink, and clothes, what do we find our security in today? When Jesus challenged the crowd to not worry, he was well aware of the very real concerns that they had. He was not being unkind, he was not being unreasonable, and he knew that he was making a radical challenge, a big ask, because there were real consequences to the people becoming less concerned about these areas. What Jesus was saying to the crowd back then, Jesus is saying to you today. I know that your grades matter. I know that your friends matter. Jesus is not saying that these things are not important and that you can just live without them. Jesus is saying to you today that he understands that what you're worried about is indeed important. Important in life and important to you. Yet Jesus here was extending an invitation. He was saying, I know these things are important to you, but come, let me show you a better way. And Jesus was calling them and calling us to place our trust in God. And the second point I have for you guys today is to know who provides for us from verses 26 to 32. The Bible tells us in verse 26 to 30, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? The one who provides for us is a God who cares. The one who provides for us is a God who cares. And in verses 26 to 30, Jesus highlights God's care and provision by continuing to address these basic necessities. But this time, he draws reference to the wild birds and the fields. All that they do is simply exist as how they were created to exist. The wild birds do not plant and harvest their own crops. They simply do what they were created to do. They build nests. They collect food that God provides for them through nature. The wild fields don't do anything special to secure for themselves their beauty. They don't put on coats. They don't paint their own petals, right? They simply exist as how they were created to exist. And this is a picture of wildflowers growing in a field. It's so nice. It's so beautiful. And Jesus compares their beauty to Solomon, the richest king in the Bible, and says that even Solomon was not dressed like the wildflowers of the field. And the question for us today is this. As God's creation, are we functioning in the way that we were created to function? Just like how the wild birds and the wildflowers simply exist according to how they were made to exist, are we, as God's creation, functioning in the way we were created to function? And we were created to trust in Him. Jesus was very intentional to highlight that human beings are far more valuable to God than the things of nature. As God feeds the birds, Jesus says that we are so much more valuable than they are. As God clothes the grass of the field that is here today and gone tomorrow, if His care extends to even such a transitory part of His creation, how much more would He clothe us and provide for us? And God's provision for us is built on a foundation of care and love. God's provision for us is built on a foundation of care and love. And one of my memories of God's provision, right, was when He sent uni friends into my life. So when I was in uni, I was a stay-back leader in a place. And so much of my time out of class, right, was split between meeting the people I was leading, being involved in different ministry projects, and trying to catch up with my schoolwork like any other uni student, spending time with my family. And I remember at the end of my first year of uni, right, I thought to myself, Oh my gosh, I just spent the entire first year of school only hanging out with people from church, not making any non-church friends at all. And it was something that really bugged me. Not because I hated church people, I loved them and I loved hanging out with them. But because I remember telling God at the start of uni, right, that I really wanted to make my uni years count. And I wanted to reach out to people along the way as I went through uni. But there I was at the end of my first year, right, realizing that I totally didn't do anything much about it at all. And so I felt really bad and I prayed. I remember telling God that I really want to do things differently in the next few years. But at the same time, there were real practical difficulties. So I felt like I was already year two. It was quite likely that people kind of already had their own cliques. I didn't know who to be friends with. I didn't know whether I could butt into any existing cliques. And at the same time, I really didn't have a lot of time in school. So I remember telling God, okay, God, I really want to make some non-church friends. I want to get to know people who I can reach out to, but I also want to continue giving my best to ministry. So I don't have a lot of time. Will you just somehow make a way for me? I ended up taking a theatre studies module that was on paper, supposedly 3 hours a week. But because we had to put together an entire theatre production in about 12 weeks, right? The prof decided to extend our class to 8 hours every week on the same day. Okay, so from spending 3 hours a week in a lecture theatre with this bunch of people, I ended up being kind of like forced to spend 8 hours every week with them. We went for class, we went for dinner together, we went back to class and we traveled home together. And this went on for about like 12 to 13 weeks consecutively. And so in some strange way, I ended up spending a lot of time with this bunch of people just by turning up for class. And my theatre friends ended up becoming my closest uni friends after that semester, even though I wasn't even majoring in theatre studies and I wasn't even taking much modules with them. They were there at my 21st birthday party. Recently, they also attended my wedding. And over the years, I even managed to invite some of them to church and have conversations with them about Jesus. Remembering this story always makes me laugh because I feel like all I made was a very simple prayer with quite weird conditions, and somehow God managed to pull it off and provide for me in such a strange way by forcing me to stay in a lecture theatre for 8 hours every week. You know, but God provided for me in this way because He loves and cares for my needs and He listens to my prayers. And to be very honest, right, while trying to decide what story to share about how God provided for me, I really struggled to think of something, not because there aren't stories, but because I don't always remember them very clearly. But when I make myself sit down and really recount what God has done in my life over the years, I begin to see so many different stories of His provision, of His care, and of His love. And my point is this, that we need to take time to remember. We need to take time to remember. This is just one story I have, and I'm sure that many of us have our own individual encounters and stories of how God provided for us, how God cared for us, how God loved for us. But we need to take time to remember, because if not, it's really easy to forget. And if we don't remember, in our times of stress, it's easy to think that God doesn't care and that we need to scramble to secure our own needs. If we would take time to see and remember God's hand in our lives, we will be able to see a pattern of care, a pattern of love, and a pattern of provision. He is a God who cares, and He is a God who knows. The God who provides for us is a God who knows. Verse 31 and 32 says, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Jesus calls out this form of worry, merimnao, as the pattern of pagans, of unbelievers who do not understand the Father's care. Therefore, they have no alternative but to run after these things and to secure them for themselves, because in their worldview, there's no one who will provide for them apart from themselves. Yet for those of us who have a personal relationship with God, the reality can and should be very different. Our ability to stand firm and not be swept away by worry is not because we don't care, and it's not because we don't need these things. Our ability to stand firm and not be swept away by worry is grounded in knowing that God cares, God loves us, God provides for us because we are His people. As we look at the way we conduct ourselves in this exams and submission season, as we look at the way we deal with various areas of stress in our life, have we begun to live our lives differently as the people of God? Or do we look just like the world in the way we worry, in the way we strive, in the way we scramble to secure our own needs? We are called to live our lives differently so that we can begin to experience the freedom that Jesus has bought for us, but also so that when the world looks at us, they can see that there is a different and better way to live? Have we begun to look so similar to the world that we have lost our purpose? We have stopped standing out. We have stopped looking different. And how can we build our lives differently? You know, when Jesus calls out to the disciples for being of little faith, right? He was not referring to an absence of faith, but a deficiency of faith. He was not saying that they had no faith at all, but hey, you believe, but you don't believe fully. And for many of us here, right, perhaps this is how we are like before God. It is not that we don't believe God cares for us, but that we don't believe in it fully. So what happens is that while we try to trust and we try to believe that we follow a God who loves and cares for us, we also try to secure things for ourselves in the meantime. A bit like a backup plan. It's as if God is calling you to, you know, step out of the boat and come onto the waters, right? And then you say, okay, God, but wait, let me put on some floats on my arms, let me put some floats on my waist, and then okay, I can get into the water, right? Then I go into the water, wow, I can float, I really never sink. Wow, God, you're so good. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, right? And as I'm saying this, you might be thinking to yourself that that's quite a ridiculous image and that's quite a ridiculous conclusion. But the truth is, that's how we live sometimes, you know? I agree in theory that God will provide for my future, but I pack my schedule with multiple tuition slots, multiple consultation slots at the expense of service and life group. I agree in theory that God will provide for my future, but I apply for internship after internship, join multiple activities on campus just to pad my portfolio and feel more secure. I agree in theory that God will provide for my future, but I jump from relationship to relationship, from one ambiguous friendship to another, so I can secure a companion for myself. At the end of the day, when we get our straight A's, we get our dream job, we get our dream partner, we can say all glory to God. We can post an Instagram caption to say, thank you, Jesus, for providing for me. But only we know in our heart of hearts, right, whether we have grown to really trust God in the process or not. We can put on floats and step out of the boat onto the waters, but while it might keep you afloat, it does little to build your trust in God. It might keep you afloat, but it does little to build your trust in God. And when the next thing comes along that requires you to place your trust in Him, you will realize that you still struggle because you have not yet learned and experienced that you can step onto the waters without the floats and not sink. You have not yet learned and experienced that God can and will provide when there is nothing that you can do for yourself. And I'm not saying that these things are bad. We should work hard. We should put in our due diligence. But beyond building our earthly futures, we need to learn to build our eternal future. As we go through life more and more, we need to learn to grow our trust in God and step more and more fully into life with Jesus. Do we operate from a place of trust or striving? Do we operate from a place of trust or striving? Are we trusting in His provision or are we scrambling to secure our own needs? Perhaps for some of us, we need to take that first step today to place ourselves in an uncomfortable position so that we can come to fully rely on God. Remove the floats and step out of the boat. And as we do that, the final point that I have for you today is to know what to build our lives upon, from verses 33 to 34. Know what to build our lives upon, from verses 33 to 34. Jesus goes on to say, "But seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." What does it look like to trust in God? What does it look like to seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and especially in times of stress? When Jesus calls us to seek, it is not that we are looking for something that we have not yet found. You know, we're not playing hide and seek, right? Like, oh, come, show me your kingdom, show me your righteousness, because I don't know where it is. As people who have a personal relationship with God, who have received what Jesus has done on the cross for us, we have already been given access to what God promises life to be. We have been given a glimpse into what life could look like in God's design. But it is on us to choose to walk into His promises, to choose to walk by His design, so that we're able to experience the fullness of life. As such, Jesus was calling the disciples then, and He's asking us today to make the kingdom of God the center of our priorities and choose to walk into life as He created it to be. As we do this, we walk into security, we walk into purpose, and we walk into the fullness of our identity in God. In the midst of our exams and submissions, or if you're currently going through a stressful period of time, what does it look like to seek His kingdom and righteousness? Today, I'd like to introduce this acronym to you guys to guide how we can go about doing it. And surprise, surprise, the acronym is SEEK. Okay, spend time with God, engage in community, seek excellence, not perfection, and keep in step with the Spirit. Spend time with God. You know, it's important that in times of stress or in our lives in general, we set some non-negotiables for ourselves. These are things that we will do no matter what. And I remember back then when I was a student, some of the non-negotiables that I set for myself that would not change regardless of the season that I'm in is that I will turn up for service, I will turn up for life group, I will uphold mentoring, as well as my personal devotional time with God. And you know, it's easy for our time with God, right, to take a back seat in seasons of stress because we feel like there's so many other things that require our attention, that we need to tend to. But it is in fact our time with God that will help to refresh us and realign our perspectives and emotions to the truth. So it actually is extremely important that we keep up with our time with God in seasons of stress. Engage in community. Don't go through it alone. Don't go through seasons of stress alone. You know, it doesn't mean that we have to force ourselves to study with people if we really study better alone. But some of us, right, the truth is that we fall off the face of this earth, you know, during like exam season, during submission season, right? We stop replying our messages completely, we disappear, people have no idea at all how we're doing. And as I was preparing this sermon, the Holy Spirit just placed on my heart, right, and revealed to me that there are some of you listening to this sermon today who have actually been feeling quite lonely in this period of time. The Holy Spirit showed me an image of you just studying alone in your room, just crouched over your table, over your books and over your assignments, and you're just like doing all these things, right? But you feel isolated. And these feelings of loneliness have contributed to quite a bit of your stress. Today, God wants to encourage you to take the first step by telling somebody about it, so that He can send people to come alongside you and support you in this journey. Because He cares for you, He loves you, and He wants to provide you with encouragement as you go through this journey of life. So don't go through it alone. Engage in community and allow people to come alongside you. Seek excellence and not perfection. Seasons of stress reveal our attitude. You know, do we put in the effort to study something we do not like? Or do we continue to give our best and prioritize our studies above our hobbies, our comfort? You know, do we aim to be able to say that I gave my best? And I really understand this because when I was a student, I was terrible with math and science. I think I failed my JC math paper all the way to A levels. I'm not kidding you. And there came a point in time where I was really quite tempted to just give up. You know, just focus all my strength and energy on the things that I like to study and actually reap a result and just forget it lah. Because even if I study, I don't seem to do very well. But are we able to come to the end of our exam season, our submission season, seasons of stress, to say that even though it was difficult, even though it didn't feel good, God, I really did give my best. You know, and at the same time, if our best does not always translate to the results that we hope for, we must know that our aptitude is not our identity. Our aptitude is not our identity. It's so important for us to know that none of us are gifted in everything. If I were to do a test, right, for all you people who are watching this, I test your physical fitness, I test your ability to dance, math, science, your essay writing, your drawing, your singing skills, all of us would score differently on this test. You know, some would do well in some tests, but not so well in other tests because nobody is good at everything and we don't have to score perfectly. Regardless of how we score in our tests, our aptitude does not reflect our identity. God doesn't love us more when we show our aptitude and less when we don't. He loves us simply because we are His children and that is our identity. Yet while our aptitude does not impact our identity should impact our attitude. As people of God, we need to approach this season with excellence and let's aim to be able to say that I gave my best. And the final thing is to keep in step with the Spirit. Stress is a very domineering motivator. If you've ever been in a season where you're incredibly stressed, you would know that stress is a very domineering motivator. It either motivates you to run headfirst and do everything because you're stressed, or it motivates you to sit back and do nothing at all because you're so stressed, right? And we need to resolve to walk by the Spirit and not by our flesh and emotions when we are stressed. In the midst of our stress, still choose to uphold godly values and character. And the Bible gives us a picture of what this looks like. In Galatians 5, verses 22 to 25, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." And you know, as I was preparing this sermon, right, the Holy Spirit actually reminded me of a few points in my uni journey where I was really quite stressed. And I actually kind of forgot about all these things until I was like typing my sermon, right? Then it came back like flashbacks. So I remember in like year one, sem one, right? My study week actually coincided with the Ablaze holiday week. And back then I was still a life group leader, you know, so I was leading life group every single week. And in that particular week where it was my study week, right, there was something on every single day because it was the holidays for my members. And I remember going back to school late at night one day, right, after a full day of meetings to try and study. But I was so stressed out that I couldn't concentrate at all. And I ended up having to get out of the study room, right? And then I sat outside the study area and I just cried in the dark, you know, like people walking by, I was just like, oh, crying because I'm so stressed. And my friend had to come out to check on me after a while. And back then, I remember I was feeling so overwhelmed. I felt like the workload was too much and it was too crazy for me. And I had a deep fear, right, of like opening up an exam paper and not knowing how to do anything at all. I'm not sure whether any of you can identify with that fear. And then fast forward, there was this other time in year three. Similarly, it was the exam season and I was one of the last few to actually end my final exams. So every day, right, one by one, all of my friends were done with their exams. So towards the end, I was just like so sick of studying. I was so done with being cooped up in that study room non-stop, right? And that was also the semester that I took a module meant for seniors, which actually meant that I was kind of competing against people who were all 1 year ahead of me. And that was my last paper. So while studying for it, I remember I just felt so small, so dumb, so unprepared. And I was studying with a friend, so I didn't want to freak my friend out by bursting into tears halfway. So halfway through, I just went to the toilet, sat down, cried. And then after I finished crying, right, I just washed my face and then went back to study as if everything was back to normal. The last one I remember was when I was in year four, the first semester. And this was the first semester that I really felt quite lonely in school. And it was the first time ever because the friends I usually hung out with either graduated or were very busy with their own classes. So I was mostly taking classes alone. And that was when I realized, right, that for me, stress and isolation are a very, very bad combination. There were a few weeks consecutively that I was so stressed, I kept missing deadlines in school and then I felt bad, right? So when I felt bad, then I missed classes because I don't want to see my prof and my classmates, right? Then after, because I missed classes, I feel bad. So I was just like in a very bad cycle, right? Of stress, of shame, of isolation. And I'm not sharing these things to throw a little pity party for myself, but I'm sharing these things, right, to let you know that I understand what it's like to be really stressed. I understand what it's like to make bad decisions when we're stressed or to not be able to even make much decisions. And I too have had many moments, right, where I have struggled to place my trust in God and instead scrambled to secure my own needs. Yet each point of stress was an opportunity for me to choose differently, to choose instead to trust in God even when I don't know what would come out of that. And as I took small steps to trust in God, He began to reveal Himself more and more to me as completely trustworthy, completely faithful, and completely in control. And even as I say this, I'm sure that even after all these times, I will still probably go through some seasons of stress in some form or another in my life, and that's okay. But at each point, I can choose to turn away from my fleshly fears and emotions and turn towards the character of God. And then our struggle could become more spaced out. Our struggle can have a less of a hold on us, and we can become more steadfast as God's people. You know, trust is built one step at a time, when every single time you choose intentionally to remove the floats and get into the water time and time and time again. And as we get ready to close off today's message, 2020 has been a very uncertain year, right? We spent a good portion of it at home, and it has largely changed the way we experience church and community. I'm not sure how that has been for your stress levels, whether things have in fact taken a turn for the worse. And now that things are slowly returning to a new normal, you know, we've begun to be able to see our classmates, our friends, gather with some of our life group members. And as we step out of our physical isolation, I'm not sure how many of us have really stepped out of our emotional isolation. And I want to take some time to pray for us today, that amidst the many different things that this year has brought along, make 2020 the year that you begin to respond to stress differently. Take the first step. Our hope and certainty is not in being able to secure things for ourselves, but in the fact that we are loved by a good God who cares for us, who provides for our needs, who has a unique God-given purpose for each and every single one of our lives. Being a student is just part of that journey, but it sets the foundation for how we live our lives. You know, when we learn to respond to stress in a healthier way now, it sets us up for the future. And today we can learn to build our trust in God and build a more solid foundation for our future as well. So today I want to take some time to just pray for a few groups of people. So if you could, wherever you are, you can just close your eyes, begin to pray and talk to God as I minister for the different groups of people here. So the first group of people that I want to pray for is that as you were listening to the sermon today, the Holy Spirit has been stirring in your hearts and challenging you to begin to trust in who God promises to be over your life. The Holy Spirit is asking you, remove the floats, stop scrambling to secure these things for yourself. You know, put yourself in uncomfortable positions where you can know that it was indeed God who provided for you. So if this is you today, if you want to make a commitment to begin to trust in who God promises to be over your lives, if you want to begin to remove the floats and stop scrambling to secure these things for yourself, I'd like to take the next few moments to just pray for you. God, I just pray for my brothers and sisters here, that as they listen to this sermon, God, I believe that you have been reminding them and calling to mind certain experiences in their life. And God, I just pray that first and foremost, you would assure them and give them the confidence that you are truly a God who loves for us, who cares for us deeply, who knows our needs. You're not unkind. You're not unreasonable. You are not just demanding us to drop things that matter to us so that we can learn to know who you are. But God, you are a God who is very keenly aware of the things that matter to us. But God, today we also come before you as your people. We want to make a commitment to trust in you. We don't want to trust in our own strength. We don't want to trust in worldly security. But God, today we just want to begin to remove the floats and begin to step out of the boat onto the waters, knowing that if we stayed above the waters, God, it was because you kept us afloat. And God, today I just pray that for many of my brothers and sisters, this would be the first step into a new chapter of learning how to trust in you, learning how to walk with you and rely on you fully. So the second group that I'd like to pray for today is that as you were listening to the sermon today, you know that you have yet to step out of your emotional isolation. That perhaps in this season, you have actually been feeling very lonely. Maybe you've even been hanging out with people, but in your heart, you feel so isolated, you feel so alone, and that has been quite unhealthy for you in terms of how you experience stress. Today, God's asking you to take that first step, to invite somebody to journey with you in your stress, to step out of your emotional isolation, to simply drop a text to somebody after this service to say, hey, that's me. Would you journey with me? And would you come alongside me so that I can experience breakthrough and experience who God is through my season of stress? So if that's you, I'd just like to take the next few moments to just pray for you right now. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters who may be living in this emotional isolation. God, I just pray that right now, you begin to encourage them and show them people around them that they can turn to, people whom they can invite to come alongside them in this journey so that they can experience what it's like to do life in a godly community that would encourage them, that would spur them on, that would bear their burdens and celebrate their joys with them. And God, I just pray that for some of them, taking this first step would be that breakthrough that they need to step out of their stress, of being able to learn how to see light and hope even in the midst of a very stressful season. And God, I just pray that right now you would begin to strengthen the communities in our church, that as people come alongside one another to do life together, as people come alongside one another to support each other through the stress, God, you would begin to bind these spiritual communities together so tightly, not just because we find similarities with one another, not just because we like talking about the same thing or we're from the same school, but because we are bound together by your love and we learn to just come alongside one another this way. So God, I pray for these brothers and sisters that you would begin to send that hope and that light into their lives as they take that first step. And as our eyes remain closed, I just want to take some time to speak to those of us who don't yet have a relationship with God. You're not a Christian, or maybe you were once a Christian, but you backslided away from God. Today, you tuned in online to listen to a message about stress. And as we talk about how we often scramble to secure our needs and survival, perhaps that is something that you can identify with and relate to. In your life, you're so used to fighting for yourself and striving to meet your own needs. And today, I'd like to share with you about Jesus. Someone who first fought on your behalf to meet a need that you will never be able to meet on your own. Jesus went to the cross, died for our sins, and secured for us the ability to come before God freely, to enjoy being in a relationship with God, so that we can enjoy His love, enjoy His care, enjoy His provision. And even though many times we choose to take things into our own hands, Jesus has already taken the first step and extended an invitation for us to know what life was meant to be like. Today, I don't know how things are like in your life, if you're currently undergoing a season of stress, but what I can assure you is that there is a Heavenly Father who loves you deeply. And I'd like to extend this invitation to you today to come and know Him for yourself. Come and taste and see this love for yourself. So if you're ready to invite Jesus into your life, or if you're ready to come back into a relationship with God, I'd just like to invite you to pray this prayer with me today. Say the words with your mouth and mean it as much as you can in your heart. Would you repeat this prayer after me? Dear Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner, and I want to thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Right now, I invite you to come into my life, be my Lord, be my Savior. Help me to become the kind of person I was created to be. And I pray all this in Jesus' name, amen. So if you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if you're coming back to Jesus, we're so happy for you and we'd love to help you get started. Okay, so if you prayed the prayer, you can type yes in the chat box right now and our online host would love to get in touch with you. You can also scan the QR code or tell the friend who told you about this online service and let your friend know that you said the prayer to receive Jesus into your life today. For the rest of us, I'd like us to not just hear the word, but to take time to reflect on what we've learned today and take time to also share what you've learned with your life group. So before we close off the service for today, I'd like to pray for you for your upcoming exams and submissions. So wherever you are, you can just close your eyes and receive this prayer of blessing. God, I just pray for every single person who is watching this online service, if they're going through some exams, some midterms, some submissions right now, or just any seasons of stress. God, we pray that this would become an opportunity for us to learn to lean in and for us to learn to seek your kingdom, seek your righteousness. We pray that in this season, you would fill our heart with peace that comes from you, that we would learn to fix our eyes on you and place our trust in you, not just in the way we scramble to secure our own needs. And God, may this be the chapter that we look back upon next time to say 2020 was the year that I learned to deal with stress differently. 2020 was the year I learned to remove the floats, get out of the boat, step onto the water and trust in a good God who loves, cares and provides for me. So God, I pray that you bless my brothers and sisters, make their studying productive and help them to enjoy their time of fellowship in the week ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So thank you for joining us today. We'll see you next week.